Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio in downtown La Mesa, California, Public Square Coffee,
downtown.
Is my lovely wife and co-host with an empty Gibraltar cup in Melissa Nickerson and our producer, Andy Lara.
Hello.
Cheers, everybody, to us.
Cheers to us.
To them.
Mm-hmm.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
It was July.
It was July. We have so much to talk about today. We are going to talk about our son getting his license. We are going to talk about seeing the band Switchfoot, which I think I listened to around the time I got my license. And then we're going to give just an overall Northwest recap.
Nod.
It's fitting that we're going to be talking about the Northwest as I have a plant that is just touching my arm.
Yeah.
I'm getting touched. Right. You see how that's touching right there? That is.
It's touching me too.
Yeah. That is. Yeah. Whew,
it's very aggressive. Just like the health.
You see how. You see how that's touching your arm right now?
Yeah.
When we were 17, I would have lost my mind if I could have done that. To you, if I could have just touched,
if you were the plant
that high on your arm, whoo, that close to the top half of the top half, whoo, that lucky plant, that'll make you grow. We're in a weird spot, everybody. We're in a 2.5 day stay in between 2 10-day stays. We're home recording two pods. Today is July 18th. You're listening to this July 19th or after. And we're in it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, our kid got our license today. We have we had 72, less than, more like 60 hours to do laundry and pack in between big trips, and the poor cats. We boarded them, and which we think is the good thing to do. It's we got a lot to talk about, and we'll get to it all. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in. It really means a lot to us.
July is going great.
We hope it is. We really. Quick love to the patrons who were on the patron Zoom hang yesterday.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing that. If you guys are unfamiliar with Patreon, it's a way you can give a little more to the pod and get a little more. And that includes things like discount on new merch they've seen and that's going to be debuting here shortly publicly. It's only at live shows right now.
On the website.
And Zoom hangs, which we did yesterday. And I want to give some of them get meet and greets at show. Allison drove out from Phoenix with the crew, said hi in San Diego. Carrie and Dan, you were both at the Boston show. So thanks for meeting and greeting. I think going to be Courtney this weekend is doing the meet and greet.
In Atlanta.
She's going to be in Atlanta, in Nashville, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Thanks, everybody.
Good stuff.
Also, upcoming dates this weekend. If you're in the Nashville area, get those tickets. There's still some available, at least for Friday. Saturday's almost sold out. So, 21st and 22nd in Nashville, and then the 28th, we added a second show in Atlanta at the Earl. So, there's tickets to that late show. August, we're doing San Jose, Fresno, Sacramento, Omaha, Milwaukee, Minneapolis. Second show added in Minneapolis, Tulsa, Addison, San Antonio. September is Houston, Oklahoma City, Austin, Phoenix. Oh, I moved all that around. Phoenix, okay, and then I'm take a few months off from the headlining tour, and then December, Phoenix, Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. January, we added Kansas City. February, we added Grand Rapids. On sale this week will be Portland, Philly, and wait for it, Buffalo. On sale soon, almost finalized, New York. Working on Denver, working on Vancouver, working on Rhode Island, and then that's it. I think that's it. I think I might breathe, and then I can rest and watch the sunrise on a grateful universe.
Perfect.
Thanos.
Yep.
316.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys aren't familiar with that. So, anyways, thanks for everyone that came out to the Tacoma shows. Those are a lot of fun. It was no joke. It was the side room of a breakfast joint. Tacoma Comedy Club. Adam Norwest runs a bunch of, he started Tacoma Comedy Club, opened Spokane, he's got Bricktown, there's a lot of clubs that I work there, Louisville Comedy Club, Fort Summit, I think is what that mount, he opened one in the Summit area of Fort Wayne, Indiana, I don't remember that one. Anyways, a lot of great clubs. During COVID, they opened a takeout breakfast restaurant.
Yeah.
And they actually bought the building and stuff. And then they have a side room that he's like, oh, this is now the small area for a comedy club here. It's like 100-seater. So we did a bunch of shows there. Sold them all out. Thank you, Tacoma. Hometown shows are always weird because people will be like, hey, I know you from junior high wrestling. And I was like, we're on the team. He's like, no, we wrestled against each other. Like me and you were like... No, you wrestled against my friend. I was just sitting on the other side of the mat, and I was there. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't recall that.
So we were in the same building 25 years
ago. Yeah. No, I don't recall that specific interaction.
I was going to say, you got the nachos in line next to me.
Yeah. Oh, we were supposed to do some reviews too. By the way, thank you also for those of you leaving reviews on Spotify. Listen, yeah. If you listen on Spotify, you don't even have to write out any words.
No words.
They won't let you.
Just stars.
Just stars, baby.
Uh-huh.
But if you want to write out some words, you can do so on Apple, which this one we got from Chelsea Diane 15, podcast of the new books, 5 stars. Listen to this podcast if you want to brag to your friends about how smart you are because you're a podcast listener, and podcast of the new books. Boom.
All right.
And this is a 5-star one from Mrs. Kingfish. Who gives less than 5 stars? I may be late on the review game, but for real, what elder millennial / zennial wouldn't write this weekly piece of gold with all those 5 stars? Backseaters, we write at dawn. What will we do till we get there? The most intense mom-dad face we can muster. Thank you, Mrs. Kingfish. Really appreciate
good.
You. Yeah. We're in full summer swing here with the Nickersons. Like mm-hmm. I said, we have just gotten... We've... Whew,
I think we're 4-ish weeks in. You know, we did a day camp week. We did a 4th of July week.
Yeah.
We did, you traveled with Joel.
Yeah.
We did a family trip. Yeah, a little work and family stuff. So, yeah, we're just definitely in it. And then our kid got his driver's license mm-hmm. today. So
I think
we have some friends in town that we're hanging out with right now.
My experience is usually around day 4 of a family vacation, you go, this was a mistake.
For all the money you're spending.
Mm-hmm.
And all the preparations.
Yeah.
Because we planned this 6 months ago.
Yeah. I think around day 4, you go, this was a mistake. And then around day 6, you go, we'll never recover emotionally, financially. Around day 9 or 10 on a trip, you're like, we're not even a family anymore.
I don't have one clean piece of laundry left.
This family vacation has torn my family apart. We have grown further apart.
The infrastructure has exploded.
There is nothing like a family vacation to rip a family limb from limb, just tear us. What was meant to bring us together has drawn us apart. What mom and dad meant for good, the children have used for evil. And then around January, about 4 months later, you go, we should go somewhere this summer. Don't do it. Your family's happy at home. Your family, your kids love their house.
You got enough space.
They love their friends. They have everything there. You got good Wi-Fi at home. The hotel doesn't have good Wi-Fi. Why did you do it? Why do you do it? To have these special... You know what? A family, people, this is the crap that parents and grandparents and stuff, they shove down your throat. They go, family vacations, they create memories. Yeah, they do. They do create things you will remember. Pleasant memories? No.
We didn't say that.
Yeah. You'll remember them. You will remember them. And you will retell them to a therapist in about 15 years when you're like...
You'll remember seeing your parents at their breaking point.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And you won't realize that it was you that broke them as they tried to help you.
As I searched for the AirPod under the van seat on a 95 in a 95 degree parking lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking children on a vacation is like seeing a wild animal caught in a trap and you're trying to save it, but it keeps biting you. And you're like, no, I know that this is your instinct, but I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to free you. I'm trying, quit squirming, turtle. I'm trying to cut you out of this plastic net that you're caught in. Let me save you. Let me help you. Let me bring you joy. And they just keep snapping. They just, the snaps, the snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, vacation's going great.
Yeah. That's a good analogy.
We're trying. It is good. Yeah. The we are back. Summer break, like we really Joel got out, the girls got out, and I got back from a long trip. And it was like we just kind of hit the ground running. The first thing that we did was we went to the San Diego Fair, which this is the first time I ever cheated on the Puyallup Fair. So growing up in Washington State, the Puyallup Fair, especially South Puget Sound, where I'm from, is like a big thing. It's the biggest fair this side of the Mississippi. It's a big old fair. It's bigger than any fair in Texas. You heard that correct. Like, it is a big old hickory dickory fair. It is a whole to-do. This is the first fair that I've ever gone to with our kids, and not that isn't the Puyallup Fair. So
it took us 12 years to go.
Now, Andy, yeah. I'm sure you frequented the Del Mar. What's it called? Is it the San Diego Fair? What's it called?
You know what? I have not frequented. I haven't even been yet because I've only lived here for a couple of years. But I used to go to the OC Fair all the time.
Okay.
You know, in Orange County because, you know, naturally.
Yeah.
Well, the Del Mar.
That was your fair.
Yeah. The Del Mar Fairgrounds has one big thing going for it. What do you think it is?
Speakeasies. I know that much.
Oh, I didn't think the speakeasies.
Well, I did see those on the map.
This is something that maybe a SoCal kid doesn't fully appreciate. It's on the ocean.
Yeah.
Fairs aren't on the ocean.
They're in a farm. You know,
they're in the farmland. They're
flat ground.
They're inland. It's on the ocean, which is pretty cool. So the fair was a lot of fun, but we half watched Switchfoot at the fair.
A couple months ago, we talked about you guys might want to go, and we were like, oh, maybe we could all go, and we would enjoy that.
We would.
And then we, you know, just waited and saw what was going on.
Yeah.
So Switchfoot was the day before the last day of the fair.
Tell me about...
We closed the fair on July 4th.
Yeah.
We went July 3rd.
I want to get into that, and we'll tell that story. Andy, tell me about your relationship with Switchfoot as a, you know, as a music guy, but also as a, you know...
Switchfoot was like a diet rock band.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of at the era of, like, all the bands I was, like, really into.
Yeah.
So... I just didn't, and I was like I grew up more inland, so kind of the surfy, kind of like rock thing. It just felt too glossy for me.
Yeah.
Like MTV was firing, but it was also like The Calling and SR-71 and American Hi-Fi and Avril Lavigne, and they kind of, to me, my mind fell into that camp, which I call the runk genre, which is like rock bands trying to be punk.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were trying to be punk.
Well, they probably weren't.
Yeah, but I mean, you were young.
I was that's how I assimilated them, because it sounded like that when I was listening.
It sounded like people were listening to it.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't enjoy it.
I could not. I was like,
they had a radio hit.
Hits.
People like this. I don't.
Yeah. You know, do they smoke cigarettes out in the front of the venue? Like, you know, more excited about the openers and the headline? Probably not.
I actually leave during the headliner.
Yeah.
appreciate that about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, Switchfoot, I started going to church in like, let's say I graduated in 2003, 2000-ish. And when did Beautiful Letdown come out? 2001?
Yeah.
I mean, they were everything. Because I was like, I was a Seattle kid. They're like, you got to get rid of your secular music. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Burn your CDs.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not going to do any of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Switchfoot came out. And I was like, oh, this is pretty good, actually. Like, this is very, very good. Like, and they were, they were the thing for youth group kids, because like Jars of Clay got played a little bit on the radio, and then like Switchfoot was a legit hit band. They were like a huge band and just kind of kept having hits. And so we love Switchfoot. And so we see Switchfoot at the fair in San Diego, and it's the way that the fairgrounds works out is you can kind of like you can hear the band without seeing them. You can't see them. You can see side stage a little bit.
Yeah.
You can kind of peek in, but you can full hear them.
Yeah.
So we go to this kind of side stage, backstage area, can hear everything, watching the sun go down
on the water with the Ferris wheel behind us.
Yeah.
And we're in sand. So we're playing tag in sand.
With our kids.
With our five kids.
And then you sit down on a bench and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm at youth camp again. Andy, all the Switchfoot songs are playing in the air. We're having a moment, you know, your love is a symphony.
Remember?
And I picked up some sand, Andy, and I let it run through my hands.
But in a meaningful way.
In the most meaningful,
the most meaningful way.
Way.
Like, show me the unmeaningful way.
Yeah.
The youth pastor analogy.
But my children are playing behind me. Oh. And I'm like, what kind of moment is this? Where did this come from? It was very funny. And I had this thought. I'll never use the word deconstruct because I don't like that. I don't like terms. But I had this joke that I was like, if I ever went down the full deconstruction path, you could deconstruct me down to a grain of sand, and that grain of sand is going to be Switchfoot. I will never leave Switchfoot. I'm in forever. I'm ride or die with Switchfoot.
That's awesome. I have a juxtaposed punk experience in probably the exact same time you were having that moment, because I went to the Punk Rock Museum over the weekend in Vegas, or last week in Vegas. They have a jam room where they have the instruments of bands and that kind of thing. And so I was really into the band Strung Out.
Huge
fan. And they had Rob's guitar from Strung Out.
Yeah.
And I used to be one of my first bands in high school was called Mind of My Own, which came from a Strung Out song.
Right.
And I sat down and I was like, and then I played that song and I'm like, this existential circle right now could not be more perfect. Like, I'm playing a song from my favorite band on their guitar.
Yeah.
From my namesake band. And it was like, and everything is in the world.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joel got in the Joel. This is a thing that like kids have right now that maybe I don't remember having, but they're all into like, what is your first drive song? What song are you going to play for your first drive? And Joel's asked me that like a million times. Like, I was like, I don't know.
We had CDs.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Whatever was track one on the CD that I was putting on. I have no idea what my first drive song was. I mean, if I was 16, the year was 2001. I don't even remember. I mean, gosh, the Green album came out then. I'd listened to that a decent amount when my sophomore year.
I think it was actually Eminem's by Blink-182.
Oh, there you go. Sure.
Yeah. I think for me, that was it. Because like that's I loved that song right before I was able to drive.
Right.
And so I think the idea of being able to drive and listen to that song was just.
Yeah. Well, Joel didn't have a choice because the car that he has for us just is a radio. So he's like, that's why when I FaceTimed him, he just got his license. He's like, Green Day came on. And I was like, okay. He's like, Holiday. I was like, that's it, huh? There you go.
There,
I
mean, that was your drive song.
That's it. That's as good as any, I guess, you know, with the, they do the bleeped out bridge now, you know, because, you know, censorship. Am I right? Cancel culture these days.
These days.
It's coming for all of us. You know how many.
I think you just got canceled right now.
You know how many comedy careers it's ruined / given them a bigger following than they've ever had before? I got canceled. Now I'm selling out theaters. Yeah, it seems pretty rough.
I'm so sorry for you.
Seems pretty rough. But. Anyways, our son got his license today, and you have done that. You have worked so diligently to get.
It's so hard to get a license in California.
It's hard to get a license. It's
hard.
Very hard to get a license these days, and it's very, very hard in the. Like, DMVs are bad. The DMV in California is hell. It's bureaucrat. I bet.
We got there. At 8 a.m., well, like 7:30.
Yeah.
And there was a line, like, wrapped around the building.
Oh, yeah.
It is much easier to get into hell than to get into...
So much easier to crash a car than...
Yeah.
And also the same.
Get your license.
And also the same, yeah. Yeah, the DMV is like, you are hell, but you have heaven's standards. Like, you're the narrow path, but to the bad destination? The DMV really should be a lot more welcoming, considering how awful of an experience it is. But talk about knowing that you have a product that people need. They just have to go.
What a flex.
What a flex. Absolutely. It's like, it's easier to get Taylor Swift tickets than it is to get your license in California. It's a real pain. You ever had to get something renewed in the state of California? You're screwed.
Through a website? Yeah.
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 So you've started. This is like
since October.
Yeah.
We have been working on this. Mm-hmm. And it just like to because you don't just sit down in your high school, you know, like portable, you know, and sit through driver's ed. You have to be like, okay, so if every Sunday you did 3 lessons online, then you could have your written, you know, certificate by December 1st.
Right, right.
You know, like, and I guess that what I'm seeing now is just like, I have to do this 2 more times. And, you know, your firstborn just sometimes has a little bit more of that, like, check the boxes and... rise to the standard.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, it's going
to
be
like to get the girls to focus, to study, to pay attention. I just said focus, pay attention. Practice, practice, practice. So it's overwhelming. Yeah. It's overwhelming. And then, like, all of a sudden, there's just all these new things we have to think about, you know, like the air tags on the keys and the Life 360. And,
well, what I realized,
just, like, all of it, you're like, in curfew, some more keys.
We FaceTimed Joel today.
Like, I don't have time to do all that.
Yeah, we got in here right before we about to record, and I FaceTimed Joel, and it was when I realized, like, oh, we haven't set up ground rules with the car. Because I was like, does he just think he can drive somewhere today? Because it's still our car, and it's still gas money, and he's still our kid. He's not an independent adult.
No,
he still has to ask to go places.
It was actually really fun because. When so Joel went out to drive and then another mom's son went out and she talked to me the whole time.
Yeah.
And she was like, it was her second kid.
Okay.
She waited till he was a senior. She was like, no, you're not ready. Like, if you have to do summer school and like pass your classes, like you're not ready. And
so she let
her firstborn like get it 16, but like waited on her secondborn. And it was just fun because we're both nervous, but we're like moms, so we're, you know, we're able to I mean, every parent, it's very fun to watch the parents waiting for their
kids.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to do all the practice with your kid. You have to wait with them while
they're
out there.
It's a strange thing, yeah, because you show up. When you show up,
you're standing there.
You're the only one with a license.
Oh, yeah. And you're showing all the proof of everything. So it's a very, you know, it's a big milestone. It's like when your kids learn to walk or something.
Right.
But it's like, you know, you don't get like a certificate.
Yeah.
Or like
yeah.
a trophy.
Parenting is, yeah. Well, you get a kid that can drive himself and that's
yeah,
the trophy.
Yeah. yeah. No, of course. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Parenting is all these things that like you don't really know to be nervous about until the moment comes. Like I have not been nervous about Joel driving until today. And now I'm like, oh gosh, what if he gets in a wreck?
Which is kind of like pregnancy because I have spent 9 months like yeah. planning this out.
And then when Joel was born, I was like, oh no.
That was like day one, like the shock hit
yeah,
you.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so now today.
Well, I wasn't carrying it. I didn't
well,
have to
I know.
I was
not,
also like so
I'm
young.
Not, yeah.
yeah I didn't I should have been more I told you that the other day. I was like, oh my gosh, if we had another kid right now, we would be such good parents. If only
please, no more children.
I told you I would be I apologized the other day. I was like I'm sorry I wasn't better during the pregnancies, but I was young and dumb. I just didn't have it in me. Now
you
I know.
You would be more supportive.
I'm much nicer to pregnant women. I wasn't mean, but I understand more now.
Yeah.
You know?
You've seen more. I know. I guess that's just how
youth
it goes.
Youth is wasted on the young, yeah. baby. Yeah. But, you know, at least we're young parents. I could still jump on a trampoline. And we tore down. But, yeah, it is. You are... When your kid gets your license, you're trading some of your time for some worry, essentially.
100% and money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the money of them being their insurance and
the
stuff.
The financial
yeah.
responsibility has just upped.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
It is.
Yeah.
You just, mm-hmm. I just think about how bad Joel is at like walking through an airport and not running into people that I'm like, oh, he has a car now? Oh, no.
But that's why the 9 months of prep is like good. It's good that you have to do 50 hours with
yeah.
your parents to get a license. A lot of kids in California just get it at 18.
Yeah.
Because it costs money and time and stress.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Like my immediate logical intuition is like, I just won't let my kid get a license unless like they have a job that can make some of their own money.
Right.
Because it's
right.
like it just costs something to drive a car, whether it's gas
right.
or insurance, or it's like the idea of responsibility and money and driving just has to kind of all
yeah.
be there a little bit.
Right.
Like I'm definitely not the parent to be like, you're 16, you get to drive now.
Yeah. Well,
scary. Here's a new car.
What we're paying him to do is take his sisters to school next
yeah.
year. Because their schools are right next to each other. So, you know, you're like, well, that gives us some time. And as long as you're in sports, you don't have to get a job. But there is value in having a third driver in the house, for sure. Especially because I travel.
Especially with Dustin's
sure.
schedule. Yep.
Oh, why don't you just rub that in? Plus, maybe he can start getting up at 5 and taking me to the airports on Wednesdays or Thursdays.
Rub it in.
Why is he so tired at school? Well, he had to take his old man to the airport this morning.
I did think, I was like, he's going to do all the airport runs. And then I was like, I don't want him on the freeway all hours.
No.
You know, like, yeah. He literally is supposed to be off the road 11 to 5 a.m. So he can't wake up too early to get to the airport. I don't know. It's all terrifying. Let's just leave it at that.
I don't want to leave. Yeah, I'm very scared. But here's what I'm looking forward to is the worst part about your kid learning how to drive is that era where they're in the back seat critiquing your driving.
Let's talk about you in Washington State.
Oh, man. Segue. I forgot that Washington State has the slowest, most timid, most passive drivers. I was a California driver before I moved down here, and now I'm full aggressive California driver. If you want 5 cars all going 64 miles per hour, I recommend I-5 South through Seattle, Washington. Drive like you're going somewhere, Seattle. Go, 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 go. I forgot how slow they are.
It was really entertaining for me.
It was, yeah.
To watch you so mad at the Washington
drivers. You
know
when you're driving on like a two-lane highway and there's two semis going 61 or whatever, one's going like 62 and he's making the pass. It is, Seattle is that, only Subarus. Just slow. Go, go.
With like REI
go,
stickers.
Go, go. The trees are growing faster than this. Move, please. It drives me insane.
They're just so nice.
I think what it is they're prepared for rain at any moment, that they're like, I might have to slow down. They're not nice. Seattle people are not nice.
No, they're nice drivers.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, everyone's just going along.
They're not nice drivers because if you fly by them at 66, they look at you like you're breaking the land speed record. Like you're hydroplane on Lake Washington.
It's just the depression and the gloom. It's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. There might be something to that. Like, it's just slow drive
get
to the
there
darkness.
When I get there.
Yeah, yeah. It's just slow drive into the darkness
there
anyways.
Go. There you go. Okay. The look that the downtown Seattle barista gave you when you threw a plastic water bottle backwards into the trash can.
Yeah.
And made it at the coffee shop was just, she just wanted you to die.
Yeah. I just did a little toss. Just a little toss. Yeah.
Well, we waited for our coffees and she was like, this guy.
She couldn't handle the toss or you weren't recycling?
No, I definitely recycled. Oh. Are you kidding me?
She just was
Why
would you ever throw anything ever?
What am I going to go into a Catholic church and rip on the Pope? Not an idiot. It's the main religion up there. It's recycling. Recycling and Subarus, baby. I love so much when I walk into a coffee shop and I see a mean, judgmental barista. You're in for a good cup of coffee.
100%.
It's going to be so good. Hopefully, you see some hair that kind of looks like your shirt, maybe.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Oh, if you walk in and they don't say a word, you're about to have the best cup of coffee of your life.
But they say it all in their face.
They say it
with their eyes.
You are lucky that they're open, for one. You can't believe that you landed in the 70 minutes that they're open today. They hate that you're there. They're furious that you brought your kid. They offered your kid a dog treat. Because that's
to wait outside.
That's what they have. They're like, does your kid want to go lick from the water bowl that we put out? That's for them. And you ask for non-fat milk and they laugh because as if they serve dairy there.
Yeah.
There's no dairy available there. And that's all over. If I walk in and I say, barista, say, hey, how we doing? I'm storming out. I'm going to burn your building down. Why are you even open? What is this, the 90s?
Do not greet me.
What is this, a coffee shop with couches where we're going to sit here for 4 hours? And draw or whatever they did in the 90s?
Poetry.
Ugh.
Yeah.
No, give me that mean barista, baby.
That being said,
bitter barista, smooth coffee. That's what I want.
That being said, we didn't have the best coffee in Seattle.
Seattle's not the coffee city that it used to be.
Yeah.
It is not the coffee city that it used to be. It is, Portland still is, you know, but it's just, Seattle's an interesting place. We had so much fun in the Northwest, but Seattle is just not punk rock corporate anymore, and it really hasn't been since like 2000.
Yeah.
Because the grunge era, Cobain died in 94, and at that point, all the big grunge bands, with the exception of Mudhoney, were pretty mainstream at that point. They were big, and you just cannot fully be it's a corporation city. Starbucks, yeah. Microsoft,
Amazon,
Boeing, Amazon. I mean, you are the corporate city. Like, it's just not the punk rock city that it used to be. And it is, and there are Capitol Hill absolutely is still a punk rock city, and there are elements of it, but it is much more like a Chicago now, where you're like, this is a big city, and it's got these elements. It's got its cool neighborhoods and everything. But it's, you know, it's, again, it's the corporate city in a lot of ways. Listen, to what four companies did you say name? Okay, the software company, the coffee company, the airplane company, and the world's company, Amazon.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, come on. And I'm forgetting some big ones. Is it Adobe based
is
there, too?
Adobe.
Google has a ton
Adobe's
of offices.
Meta has
there.
A ton of
yeah, yeah. Google has built a ton there. Of offices up yeah. there. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. At least Portland has the... you know, the properness to put Nike outside of the downtown.
Yeah.
So that being said,
they can't handle that much corporation.
Yeah.
A sniff of a.
Yeah. There are really we were up in Tacoma for we did Tacoma for 4 days. Tacoma has a real come up since we've left.
I went to high school there.
Yeah.
It's not like a destination city.
No.
No one's like, I'm going to go take my family to Tacoma for 4 days.
No.
But that's what we did.
But if you happen to be in Tacoma, you could have a good 4 days.
Yeah. We had a blast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Common Grounds Coffee.
Yeah.
We went to Common Grounds. Mm-hmm. I've been downtown there. Really good. As good a cup of coffee as anywhere we found in Seattle. It was fantastic.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
And I'm not just saying that because they recognized me. But honestly, I should get recognized in a couple coffee shops in the South Puget Sound area. Yeah.
I loved Ice Cream Social.
Ice Cream Social down at Point Rustin.
Point Rustin, that's all new to us.
New
it's
to
probably
us, yeah.
15 years old. That was amazing.
Big
so that
outs.
Was like the best dairy-free ice cream.
Oh my, it's the,
you've
easily
ever had.
The best dairy-free ice cream I've ever had. So good.
Mm-hmm.
Ice Cream Social down at Point Rustin. They have multiple locations, right?
I think so now, but that was their original.
It's so funny when you go to places with your kids, you just kind of know how to have a little more fun there. Like we went to the whole built out Point Defiance area. We didn't go to the zoo, but we did the free zoo, the duck pond.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't
there were deer.
There were ducks. There were turtles. We climbed a tree. They don't let you climb trees at the zoo.
There you go.
They should.
Yeah.
Be a monkey exhibit. That would be a hit.
Oh, they have one of those in the San Diego Zoo, but
where you can climb a
yeah, you tree. Look like a monkey or a koala. Yes,
which those Wait. Are two different species.
Okay, but it's kind of in between.
Do you climb
it's,
or do you?
It's by the koalas.
The side. It's by the
they
koala.
You know, Andy. They have.
I'm trying to
big tree,
and then
that
you can climb.
Kids
it?
Can climb.
I've well, never.
Fake, I don't remember seeing this.
It's
I was
a fake big tree.
I was just there, like not like a
yeah,
couple
I've
months ago.
I've never seen or heard this.
I have pictures to prove it.
I believe it.
We did a lot of fall breaks.
Because you know what's near there is a really great bar. So that's why I'm trying to.
Oh, by the zoo?
Yeah, like I yeah, yeah, yeah. across from the baboons.
Okay, so you
I know, like when you walk
speakeasy.
Down.
Yeah, we went. It's funny. We was telling me about the punk rock museum earlier, and I was looking up where it is, and I go, oh, look, it's near a tiki place. And you, what was it called?
Frankie's.
You're like, oh, Frankie's. This guy can find the tiki
amazing.
Bar.
Amazing. Amazing.
So it, we went to Fort Nisqually. Couple of history buffs.
Oh yeah, just like we're just putting the pelts on.
Oh yeah, real history like, buff. It's really important for us to teach history
step
to our
back
kids.
In time
yeah,
and that was just a priority for our family.
The kids are like, "What's this about?" You're like, "It's from the past." It is the nice thing about being a couple of dum dums like me and you is that we're learning it with our children. You're like, well, I think it's pelts. I think there was some trading. It was a settlement of sorts.
It was beaver trapping, but it was humane.
Yeah. it seems like they might have had a friendly relationship with the Native Americans, or at least that's what's being told here. I'm not sure, but let's climb this tower.
Look at the view up here.
Let's go see the guy pounding the iron. He's making a sword for some reason.
Here.
They got a blacksmith here. Got a lot of vintage shopping with antiques. We went to some of the haunts that, you know, antique sandwich shop.
The old haunts.
Because
I used to run Point Defiance.
Yeah.
And I went to
not run like she was in
I
charge
ran it
of it. She,
at Parks and Rec.
She physically ran it. She physically.
And there was an antique sandwich shop is still alive.
Great. So good.
Took the kids there.
We went to Dorky's downtown, the arcade.
Yeah.
These arcades, because the vintage arcade is on a real comeback right now.
The retro.
And it is the cheapest date in town with your kids. We $40 cash. You ever roll into one of quarters machine and drop a 20 in there? I remember going to Godfather's when I was a kid. My dad would give me a $5, and I'm like, well, I own this Godfather's. You just gave me $5 in quarters? Come that around, was your, peasants.
That was your babysitter.
Maybe I'll flick you one here so you can go play the driver one with that they had the where they had the three wheels where you could I don't remember the game.
Off-road.
Off-road was so fun.
Off-road, Cruising USA?
Cruising USA, that was later.
Yeah, later, know? But off-road. Yeah. You stand, and it's four of them.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Mm. Off-road was a lot of fun. And they're a lot of fun. You can drop it, and then they'll have some old-timey sodas, some old-timey beer. You can drink beer out of a can and play the Simpsons arcade. Greatest arcade ever? Greatest arcade game ever.
Simpsons and Ninja Turtles are known as two of the...
Those Simpsons, Ninja Turtles, I would say the original Mortal Kombat, mm-hmm. Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah, original Street Fighter. Or Street Fighter 2.
Yeah. Street Fighter 2 is great. And then Marvel vs. Capcom was a pretty mm-hmm. great... Those are kind of my five. Yeah, I would say that. Always have those five. Yeah, they're always... you can go way back, obviously, Pac-Man... Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong Jr. is an underrated game. Those games are so hard, though.
They're so hard.
Yeah.
The real vintage ones are, like, actually, like really difficult to win.
Yeah. Did you go to the Pinball Museum in Vegas?
No, I didn't. We drove right by it, but I didn't.
Yeah. It's real dumpy, but it's... Again, it's kind of...
You got to pick and choose in Vegas.
I highly recommend retro arcades for like a solid 2 to 3 hours because kids are into it, you know?
Yeah, I think there's one in like South Hoe Mall. That's our friends went there.
And it's $150 cheaper than Dave & Buster's.
Yes. I like that.
And then Seattle is not the punk rock city that it once was, but I will say, it still rules. And Seattle's a great food city. And mm-hmm. I had not had Seattle teriyaki in a while. And we went twice, and I could have done breakfast yaki. No problem. Throw an egg in there. Oh yeah. Have you found good teriyaki in San Diego? We've not.
No.
Yeah.
Not really. I haven't gone looking for it.
Are you a big teriyaki guy?
I mean, I do love it. Yeah. Like, I mean,
Do you make teriyaki?
As a Filipino, I have a whole skewer regiment that I do.
Yeah.
But so, like, there's, you know, realms, mm-hmm. you know, that I dabble in, a metaverse of teriyaki, if you will.
Yeah. I think that Seattle, to me, is much, much easier to find a better plate of teriyaki than a good cup of coffee anymore.
I think so.
They're a yaki mm-hmm. city, which sign me up. You know what? The world has plenty of coffee cities. We need mm-hmm. more yaki cities. Am I allowed to say yaki?
Alternative yaki?
Yeah.
Give me a specialty yaki shop.
It is, whoo.
It is so good.
This is an organic soy. Comes from a farm here off of the ocean.
You haven't had teriyaki in a while? Because growing up in Seattle, mm-hmm. you would have teriyaki twice a month. You know, but when you have it once every year and a half, and you eat it, and then the rice, and then the side, so good.
Yeah.
Would you say it's the In-N-Out of Seattle?
It's not as iconic, you know. I mean, Dick's Burgers is the In-N-Out of Seattle.
Sure. Which obviously, I'm crossing foods here. But.
Yeah.
It's the
Mexican food of Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah. Very much so.
If you're comparing it to San Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it so much. Mm-hmm. The Thai, the ramen. I'm coming in my ramen era right now, you know?
Yeah.
Took me 38 years of life to get into noodles.
The kids love the dumplings.
I'm always eating it. Like, have you guys had ramen? It's unbelievable. And I was like, what? Are you just getting into ramen? I was like, it's everywhere right now. Like, yeah, it's been pretty popular for thousands of years.
Well, remember pho kind of came first.
Pho was big, but ramen's, they're still...
You know, it's fad food.
Pho was it had an era. Food. I feel like ramen is kind of. What do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, you're more the foodie.
Yeah, there's mm-hmm. definitely like ramen.
Ramen's on a kick right now. Ramen has a lot of heat right now.
Yeah, a lot of heat. because they have a really strong Japanese culture tie-in. So there's a lot of like really cool ramen spots because they're pulling.
Are you in Seattle?
Well, let's say in San Diego, for example.
Same with Seattle. Seattle's originally a Japanese fishing town. So,
And so there's just like some really like, this is like a hip ramen spot that can be a thing now. Yeah. I haven't gone to like a cool pho spot.
That's true. No.
It's like
that is true. There aren't hip pho spots.
Right. Yeah. You know, so it's like there's, I think some of these food genres kind of like jumped elevated. On. They elevated it.
Pho really tried to do the name thing.
Yes.
What the pho?
Yeah.
That, like that, mm-hmm. pho was like, this is our thing. You we know, are the F word pun food genre.
As a half Asian, I don't know what it is about us, but we love a pun with like with something like that. It's just like Let Us Walk and Roll was a Chinese food place
walk and
I used
roll.
To go to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let Us Walk and Roll. One
pho spot was called the best fucking soup?
Yeah, 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 yeah. You didn't have to believe that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we had What the Pho. What the Pho was a big one. Pho You was one of them. It was a thing kind of popping up all over the Northwest right. there mm-hmm. for a while. But they didn't get into the hipster thing. Like the cool spot. Where there is a couple really cool ramen spots. Ramen totally. Spots are a little cooler. They kind of took a page from sushi.
Yes. You're and that's right. kind of what it is.
You're I mean, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They wow. did. So really it's kind of so. You know,
this is an important podcast.
Gentrify your food, people. If you want to succeed.
If you want to $30 for an entree.
All of them are big in the U District in Seattle right now. The mm-hmm. U District has had such a nice come up. The food is so good. The vintage shopping is amazing. And then all the good spots, too. Still not a lot of great coffee. Hard to find a good cup of coffee in Seattle these days. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of old coffee shops. It's a lot of we were made in 94, and it feels like it.
Now, is it punk and purist to not let alternative shops come in for that reason? Because they kind of hold down like
probably,
that.
Probably, but
like,
that's not as good.
You're right.
It's not very, it's just, I can see what you mean by that. It's like, it's kind of like the living room here in San Diego where mm-hmm. you're like, okay, yeah, this is punk and purist.
Yeah.
And awful, or Lestats. I used to run Lestats. You're like, yeah this is like they a have- bunch of guys playing D&D and they're here for 6 hours.
And they have 1,000 menu items.
Yeah.
And
so it's
none
its own genre.
Yeah. yeah.
And it's important. It and I'm all for it. And I hope your business succeeds. The actual cup of coffee that I want right now does not taste the way I want it to taste. But that, in some ways, I see your point. That's the most punk rock thing. Like, we don't really care if you like it.
Yeah. Right.
We're not here for
quality. Yeah, they're like, well, back then it wasn't that good either.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the hipster coffee shop, the hipster coffee shop is a little more like, you're lucky we made this for you. And you're like, I am. You're
Thank
right.
you.
I am really
Thank
glad
you.
That you made
Great.
This for me.
Thank you so much for being open.
For honoring my palate.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to throw out there about Seattle, the Mopop Museum.
Oh, yeah.
We took the
Have
kids.
Have you been to Mopop?
No.
It's great. It's worth it.
Did you ever go to the EMP? I don't know if you've been
No,
to Seattle,
the music
much.
Experience. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they kind of transitioned.
They rebranded.
I've only been to Port Angeles. I did some video work up there. That was fun.
Oh.
That's cool.
Mopop is awesome. They've got some really cool exhibits. Joel was hyped that they have the one of MF Doom's masks.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it is really cool.
That's really cool.
Really fun. And then they just happened to have this exhibit, like stop motion of Coraline.
Mm-hmm.
And our 9-year-old nerds
Loves
out.
Loves Coraline, yeah.
And Coraline.
Yeah.
And they had like everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Mopop is worth a stop.
Insane.
For sure.
All the sets and the dolls and stuff is crazy.
Yeah, I never went to it back in its original kind of heyday of like EMP. Like I remember when
I
it
went,
opened.
Like once.
They did like a big music festival and like Metallica mm-hmm. was there and stuff. It was big.
Yeah.
And it's much more extended to the Museum of Pop Culture. So you walk in, it's a lot of old movie stuff. They have one of the Ringwraith swords and I'm like, oh,
cool.
They have a lot of stuff.
They have a lot of stuff, yeah.
And exhibits, yeah.
Yeah.
The teens really like the horror.
They have
exhibit.
A horror section, which is pretty cool. And I love that.
Lots of props.
Lots of cool props. The horror movie stuff. Not the horrors of the world.
Yeah.
Horror.
They have, like,
words there. Yeah.
Lots of like Wizard of Oz costumes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the lion thing was there. It was really cool.
Yeah, they had the whole section on fantasy. That was really cool. I liked that.
But still the grunge stuff, still a big guitar area. It's kind of a merge of a pop culture museum and like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And it rules. And Coraline
was insane.
Coraline.
If you just nerd out on Coraline.
Which I don't.
And then the Seattle Center at large has just changed so much in the last 20 years. They have this amazing playground that I was dying to let, because Claire had never been to Washington State.
Right.
That wasn't built. So we did that. Of course, she got all up in the fountain, got soaked. We walked to Dick's Burgers. It was great. It was so great.
If you go to Seattle in July when the Major League Baseball All-Star game is in town, you will think, well, this is the greatest city in the history of cities. And for those, that 5 days, it is. It is unbelievable. It was so nice. It was magical. And we planned my trip in Tacoma where I knew I could sell some tickets and I could make enough money to go to the Home Run Derby. We broke even. And we went to the Home Run Derby and it was... Listen, I go to a lot of live sports, and I remember when the All-Star game came to Seattle in 2001 and being like, I would do anything to be there for this. This is and it was the year the Mariners won 116, and each era was Rookie of the Year and MVP, and it was incredible. And we kind of, it was awesome, man. I will say going to, now, stadiums during the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby, they sell general admission, so you don't get a seat. And there were times where you couldn't move in the stadium, and I was like, no, I don't like this at all.
Oh, yeah.
But it was pretty magical. And Julio, did you watch the Home Run Derby?
No.
The Seattle Mariner that was in it, Julio, set the single round record for home runs, 41, in front of like his hometown crowd. Awesome. It was just fun because it's Major League Baseball. They know how to put on a show. And, you know, it was between that and the Switch for a Concert, a couple religious experiences for me. this summer. So anyways, we've got to reset for 2.5 days and go do some laundry, and then off to the South we go, baby.
That's right.
Let's go have a third religious experience and go see Graceland.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. All the best.
All right, bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to that episode, everyone. I want to give a special shout-out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up patrons. Thank you guys so much for your support of the podcast.
Absolutely. We've got Avril Griffiths.
Adam Bush.
Allison Nelson.
Bonnie Galindo.
Carrie Teague.
Caroline Crimmins.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Ibling.
Dem Aris Diaz Stevens.
Dave and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Isaac Teron.
Jason White.
Jennifer Ashley Downs.
Jordan Cowan.
Juliana Smith.
Lori Amos.
Matt and Sam Slosdom.
Nathan and Jennifer Merritt.
Nicole Carraz.
Rachel Wilson.
Rachel Kennedy.
Robert and Nellie Capen.
Stephen Mena.
And Tiffany Payne.
Thank you so much for your support. It means the world to us.
Thank you.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.